we start a new sermon series. It is called Many Gifts, One Spirit, and it is about discerning our call from God, our calling from God. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have a calling from God. They go hand in hand, each and every one of us. It's not just about being the pastor or being a missionary. It is a calling for each and every one of us. It is like the Blues Brothers. When they say, we're on a mission from God, that could be our catchphrase as well. We are on a mission from God. And so there's a theme verse for this series, and I think the theme verse was actually printed in our programs today. It is. So I invite you to open your program right here, right at the inside. As you open it up, is 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. And as you have your quiet times this week, I would encourage you to read the scripture again and again and again, and just mine it for all the power and goodness that's in it. And so let's read it together. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so we have these callings from God. And the first calling from God is, come follow me, right? It's the call to relationship with God. And it's the call to salvation. That's the first call. And then we have the second call. And the second call, I had never really thought about it this way until I was working with the passage we're going to read. And that second call is come down from the mountain. Come down from the mountain. It is also a call to relationship because it's always a call to relationship. And this is about relationship with others. This is the call to serve. And so we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 17 today, verses 1 through 15. I invite you to open up the Bible that you brought with you, that's the one that's near you in the pew. We are going to be walking through it verse by verse today, and I want to make sure that it's right there in front of you. And so Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, this is the story of the transfiguration of Jesus. Verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So I saw that and I was like, 6 days later, what happened 6 days before? That this is now 6 days later and we need to tell everybody about it. So what happened 6 days before was that Jesus gathers his disciples and he foretells his death and resurrection. And so he foretells his call to serve. And Jesus says to them, if anyone wants to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And so Jesus reveals his call to serve and says, you also have a call. You also have a cross. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is your call to serve. And so almost a week has passed since this conversation, and Jesus says, hey, let's go for a walk. And so I try to imagine, do the disciples have any clue that this is going to be a crazy, powerful, holy experience? Or they walk all the time up and down the mountains all over the place. Now, granted, this particular mountain that they're going to be heading up is one of the bigger ones that they would have been around. And it's just the three of them, but, they would go get quiet, have quiet time. It happened all the time. So they're heading up the mountain, and we get to verse 2. They get up there, and Jesus was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. And so it is, I can't even imagine. This is one of those, when I get to heaven, I want to see this on the Jumbotron. Time shatters. And Jesus is revealed in this glorified way. And two of the heroes of the faith are all of a sudden there talking to Jesus like, you know, they're good old friends. You know, there's Moses, you know, the one who, you know, was with God on the mountain and brought down the Ten Commandments and led the people out of slavery into freedom. And there's Elijah, the prophet, and, you know, had all these powerful encounters with God. They're chatting with one another. And Peter and James and John are just, you know, they're in the middle of all of this, seeing all of this. They are getting a glimpse of glory up there on the top of the mountain. And what's interesting is that it's not just Jesus's glory. It's also Moses's glory and Elijah's glory, because there's always this relationship, you know. It's always about relationship. And so they're there in relationship with one another. And I would love to know what they were talking about. Again, Jumbotron, I want to see it. And so then we get to verse 4. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." Absolutely. It's good to get a glimpse of glory. It's good to be on top of the mountain. It's good for us to be here. "If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Right? Now we're thinking, that's kind of weird. Why would Peter offer to do that? This was actually a practice of those who worship false gods back in their time period. All over the mountainsides, you would see these altars and little tents and little buildings where, you know, people had gone up to the mountain to worship their god. And so Peter wasn't really, you know, it wasn't a strange thing that Peter was offering to do for them. He's so excited. Peter always gets excited. And, you know, he's the first one. He's like a puppy. He's like, oh, let's do this. Let's do that, you know. Let's stay on the mountain, right? It's good for us to be here. And it is good. And so, so this is the temptation. This is the temptation to stay on the mountain. You know, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And all of a sudden we have this relationship with God, and our hearts are starting to be opened, and our minds are starting to be opened, and our eyes are starting to be opened, and we just want to hang out with Jesus on the mountain. You know, there's a reason why they call it a mountaintop experience. This is a mountaintop experience, and we just want to stay there. And we don't, you know, we just want to stay with Jesus away from the messiness and the pain of life. And what happens is we want to capture and control the glory of God. That's another temptation. You know, let's, you know, Jesus, let's build a box. And we'll put a box for you and a box for Moses and a box for Elijah, and we'll just keep all this glory in this box, and we'll just hang out here together. You know? Look what happens next. While Peter was still speaking, you know, so it's still coming out of, you know, it's like the word bubble is hanging there in the air. It's still coming out of Peter's mouth. Suddenly, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A bright cloud. I'm trying to imagine what that might have been like. A bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell on the ground and they were overcome with fear. Right? Absolutely. All of a sudden, you are hearing the very voice of God. And yes, it is wonderful and marvelous, and it is glorious. But up on the mountaintop, in the full presence of God, it is also awful. It is also mysterious. It is holy. It is overwhelming. And all we can do is just fall on our faces before the glory of God. It's always both. This excitement and joy and this on my face, you are God and I am not. Steve Garnes Holmes describes it this way. He says, let's be honest, it's terrifying to stand too close to a speeding train, to get near to the power of God, the light that can change you into your own unknown, the mystery that will surely consume you, the love that will crack open your life until all the light spills out. Jim Harnish says it this way. They never expected to see Jesus transfigured in front of them. His clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had bleached it white. They never expected to see Elijah and Moses talking to him like old friends. They never anticipated the voice in the cloud that declared, "This is my son, listen to him." No wonder they were terrified. They were scared stiff by a startling experience of the sacred. The glory of God. What would you do? Jesus leads, as he always does, but something's going to change. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Jesus comes in the midst of being overwhelmed by the power and the goodness. Jesus comes and Jesus touches us. God touches us. And speaks. And what does God always say? Do not be afraid. Yes, it is holy and powerful and mysterious, but God is a God who draws near, who desires the relationship, who initiates the relationship. God always draws near. Verse 8, and when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself, alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And so this glimpse of glory is exactly that. It was a glimpse. And it was gone. And so the first calling from God is, come follow me. It's the calling to relationship with Jesus. It is call to salvation. It is call to come up the mountain. It is call to experience the presence and the glory of God. And then the second call is to come down the mountain. The call to relationship with others. The call to engagement, the call to serve. Look at verse 14. They come down the mountain, they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water." And so they come down from the mountain, down into the valley. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." We come and we experience the light and the glory and the goodness of God, and we bring that light down the mountain with us so that we can come into the shadows, we can come into the darkness, we can come into the pain, we can come into the mess, and we can push back it all with light. And so, my friends, which is more frightening for you? The possibility of some unexpected, overwhelming experience of the divine, or the challenge to follow Jesus into the shadows and the needs of ordinary life. Hear the good news. Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Let's pray. Jesus, give us your glory and give us grace. Grace to follow you up the mountain and down into the valley. Thank you for every loving invitation. You shine, you are glorious, you are light, O Christ. Fill us with light. Grant us a glimpse of your glory. And save us, O God, from every temptation, every false understanding and motivation. Save us from the temptation to just stay on the mountain. Save us from the temptation to never engage. Save us from the temptation to try to capture and control your power and glory. You are mystery, and you are holy, and you are God. And so we bow in wonder and in worship. Help us to listen, and help us to follow. Help us to listen, and help us to follow. Help us to know your touch, your voice. Help us to follow you in grace and goodness, in light and service. If this is the desire of your heart, I invite you to put your hand over your heart to join me in saying amen.